You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Civil liberties have been at the center of a lot of the national conversation under the Trump administration. Issues like transgender people in the military, immigrants' rights to due process in the courts, and questions like, should people from specific countries be prevented from coming into the country? It's a lot. And while we're living through it, sometimes looking back can help us understand what's happening today. The Day of Remembrance is coming up later this month. It's a day that marks the incarceration or internment of Japanese Americans during World War II. Oakland writer Chizu Omori and her family were forced to leave their homes and relocate to those camps. Now she's in her late 80s, and she's part of a group of Japanese Americans who use the legacy of their incarceration to fuel their message that civil liberties can be taken away by the government. KALW's Hannah Kingsley Ma brings us her story.
We're witnesses. We have the moral authority to tell you, you know, that these kinds of things can happen if you're not aware. My name is Chizu Omori. I live in Oakland. I'm 87 years old, and I belong to a group called Nikkei Resistors. We appear as a group at various political gatherings and such to join in solidarity with oppressed peoples, and we want the world to understand that we suffered an act of gross intolerance and discrimination during World War II by being incarcerated by our own government. You know, the words executive order are like a red flag to us because, as we understand our history, President Franklin Roosevelt signed an executive order, and it's numbered 9066, which set into motion the incarceration of a little under 120,000 of us into concentration camps or prison camps. I mean, they used euphemisms, but that's what they were. They were like jails. I was 12 years old when our family was put into the concentration camp in Arizona called Poston, Arizona. And this was in 1942. And we were there for 3.5 years, and we didn't come out till the war was over. Temperatures would go up to 105 and 10, you know, maybe more sometimes. And so it just was very debilitating, and so we were just trying to, you know, keep from getting heat stroke and whatnot. The camp was very raw. It wasn't finished yet when we got there. Like, the earth had just been kind of bulldozed over, so it was all very loose, and it was extremely dusty, and there were storms. There was no furniture, and so people were making furniture. People tried to grow gardens outside of their barracks. I know there are people who built dark rooms and stuff to develop photos. We were so isolated and so squeezed into these close quarters, and there was a lot of insecurity about what was going to happen to us. I grew up on a farm, a small town farm in San Diego County. And, you know, not very sophisticated, but the family just moved back to Oceanside, where we were before the war. The land that we were farming became Camp Pendleton, which is a Marine base there in San Diego County. So we would not have had a farm to go back to in any case. My mother died 2 years coming out of the camps. So she was 34 years old. And our dad became kind of silent and withdrawn, you know. So I think the fact that my mother died and that we had a hard time reestablishing our own farm and all that, I think made him kind of like a beaten down man. And so we just never talked about it. It was just too painful. Why did they do this? to these harmless old folks, you know, whose lives were literally ruined. You know, I would say that one generation just lost everything. They were not able to rebuild afterwards because they were too old. And so they're the ones that I felt that redress was really important. The movement for redress was an effort to ask that the government own up to what they had done to us, which eventually resulted in the Civil Liberties Act of 1988, which called for an apology from the government and for $20,000 per living former inmates of the camps. It took about 10 years to accomplish. When it started out in the late 70s, there was a lot of controversy because a lot of people just felt, there's no way you're going to win this. It's never been done in the history of the United States. People were afraid that there will be a backlash and people will again, you know, be mad at us. I think one of the most pernicious effects of having been incarcerated like that is that, you know, people were made to be kind of frightened and vulnerable and quiet about what had happened to us. So I helped write a bunch of testimony for older people particularly. I heard a lot of different stories, very moving, sometimes, you know, really kind of terrible stories, like the woman who lost her mind and took a hammer and beat her baby's brains out because she'd been moved from camp to camp and it just gone crazy. I've heard others say, well, I don't talk about this because I don't want to make people around me uncomfortable, you know, like my white neighbors and such. And I understand that, you know, you don't want to make people uncomfortable, but then there are uncomfortable things that ought to be talked about. What's wrong with making people feel uncomfortable about the truth, particularly things that have happened to people they know, you know. We have been quiet for a long time. The President of the United States can decide by executive order he's just going to do something which is going to affect a lot of people in spite of the laws. You can just say, oh, well, that was a mistake and we're sorry. Yeah, but it showed that something like this could happen so easily, and that's the real lesson.
That's Chizu Amori. She's an Oakland resident who was incarcerated when she was 12 years old at Poston Camp in Arizona. And that story was brought to us by KLW's Hannah Kingsley Ma. And Chizu and the Nikkei Resistors are hosting an event called Why We Remember the Japanese American Incarceration. That's this Sunday in San Francisco's Japantown. Find out more at KALW.org.